We are so excited to be joined now by the studio head of camouflage and game director on Batman Arkham Shadow, Ryan Payton. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing excellent, man. We, Christian and I are both huge fans of Batman Arkham Shadow. And first of all, congrats on the launch. The game has been well reviewed and it seems like people are loving it as much as we are. So congrats on the game.
Thank you. It's still very nice to hear that because, you know, with game development being as it is, it's not a, definitely wasn't a foregone conclusion that the game was going to be received well and land well. So we're really, really happy over here at Camouflage that that you guys really liked and connected with the game as well. I listened to that episode that you guys did a few weeks back and I was blown away by just because I've listened to you guys over the years. It was so cool to hear how well you connected with the game that we made.
Oh, that's awesome. It means a lot to us. I mean, the game is, maybe you heard me say, it's on my Mount Rushmore of VR. You know, it's like, it's that good. And I honestly, you know, I don't think it's hyperbolic to say that Batman Arkham Shadow comes at a time when VR kind of needed something like this. You know, I think attention perhaps was waning or people's expectations of VR were waning. I've been bullish on VR since the start and I remain so, but I think that, you know, the technology did not catch on as I expected it would. And I think this game comes on along at a time where people sort of needed to be reminded of the potential of VR. And I think, you know, the IP certainly helps, right? Break through to that, to get more attention. But I think the execution that you guys have brought to bear on the game is really showing people that, hey, you know, VR still going to have some big surprises and can do things that, you know, flat screen gaming can't.
I think that's fair. And I think what you're seeing and what everybody who's playing Batman Arkham Shadow is experiencing is the product of a move and a shift that was made many years ago, which is back in, you know, even back when we were working on Marvel's Iron Man VR with Sony as a PlayStation VR title back in, that was released in 2020, there was this cry from the and messaging from the community and from players, VR players or people that weren't ready to jump into VR, was that it felt like there's too many of these experiences. There was just these demos. They felt like they were short and experimental. And where are the real games? And that was something that we tried to do with Iron Man VR, and I think to a certain level of success with Sony. And then we got the phone call from at the time Facebook, but it became Meta, that hey, we think it's time to go bigger. And what you're seeing here is the fruits of that labor, of the fruits of those seeds that were planted 4 years ago, right around the time that, you know, I believe that partnership with Ubisoft to bring Assassin's Creed to Quest last year with an Assassin's Creed Nexus, with the big bet of Asgard's Wrath 2 last year is a huge RPG, 100-hour RPG. Then, you know, with this year, you've got, you know, really terrific titles like Metro Awakening that I know is very scary. We might have to talk about it, Jeff, in terms of how far you'd be able to get into that. But
not far.
And then with Behemoth just coming out. So, yeah, Batman is just one of those mini bets that were made that's like, no, this is a real video game. And we're going to, we've learned enough about with VR that it doesn't have to feel experimental anymore. We can lean into the language, into the learnings that we've had. And it feels like it should, right? It feels like it's a matured product.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. And before you even get to Batman, I'm curious what it is about VR. I mean, obviously as far back as Republic that Camouflage has been, you know, invested in VR and making great VR experiences. What is it about VR for you personally that is exciting or interesting enough to commit your studio to it?
Well, at first, I'll be honest, it was out of necessity. We pivoted to VR in 2016 when VR was really taking off with the PlayStation VR coming out. You had the Oculus Go in 2017. People were using the Rift. The Vive, you know, Valve was going all in, and it was an exciting time, and it was the perfect time for a studio such as my studio, Camouflage, which was a mid-sized independent developer that were always looking for projects, and it just turned out that our team size and our hunger and our willingness to just jump into something new was perfect for companies that were looking to fund, you know, smaller titles. So, it was mainly out of necessity at that time that we pivoted. But it was also based on my team's passion, because without going to the long story of it, we had a project cancellation after Republic, a game that was never announced, and the public will likely never see. And it was actually a Battle Royale game before Battle Royale took off. In fact, I think I predicted Battle Royale like too soon. And it got canned. It got canned about 4 months before H1Z1 came out, I think, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
I remember the phone call. Hey, Ryan, this Battle Royale thing, this Hunger Games thing you're talking about, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. And then, now we could all laugh about it. But at the time, I had 35 employees, $35,000 in the bank, and we were in trouble. And the team said, while you go and sign our next project, do you mind if we just dabble in this VR stuff? This is really cool stuff. So they ended up making this demo without me. And I was that led to me being able to use that demo to convince Sony and Marvel to allow us to work on Iron Man VR. And then from that point forward, it wasn't just a passion thing from myself and the team. We just fell in love with this technology. And that went carried all the way through Iron Man. And then obviously now into Batman Arkham Shadow.
Yeah. I mean, I think Iron Man doesn't get enough credit for being really innovative. I think unfortunately it was held back, I think, by some of the first PSVR hardware. You know, those Move controllers weren't great as much as my opinion, but man, that game showed so much promise. And obviously you're seeing that pay off with Batman. Or at least I am seeing that. And it amazes me. You know, you mentioned a number of these other big VR experiences that we're getting lately, which is, it's awesome to see them. And you're right. It's, you know, big meaty games, but I don't know if you are giving yourself enough credit for really innovating. Batman Arkham Shadow is not just a big meaty game. It really, I think, is proving that there are new kinds of ways to make these games. And I'm struck by how almost all of the fundamental mechanics you find in an Arkham Batman game are present, and you manage to translate them into VR. Was that something that you set out to do? Like, we're going to do everything you can do in an Arkham game, or did that just sort of evolve over time?
Well, when I got the phone call from Facebook asking if whether or not we'd be willing to go to Warner Brothers with them to pitch them on doing a new entry to the Arkham franchise built exclusively for VR, I was actually somewhat against the idea. And I'm a pretty optimistic person, but I was extremely pessimistic on our prospect of being able to take the classic free flow rhythm-based combat from the previous Arkham games and to translate that successfully into VR. I was not convinced we could do it. And it was only thanks to my team and my colleagues, such as like Ryan Darcy, who said that, no, of course we could pull this off. And he explained to me how he what his vision was for it. And sure enough, him and Troy and the other team members, they put together this incredible prototype. And really quickly proved that, yes, what you and Christian played is very, very similar to the prototype that they created within the first few months of even exploring this idea that we took to pitch to Warner Brothers. They play this combat, play this locomotion where you're using the grapple gun and you're doing the cape glide. And so you feel like Batman, you're fighting like Batman. And once we got those two things, everything else felt like easy little mountains to climb, right? Whether it was the investigations or the real-time cinematics and all the puzzles that we do, everything with minus like maybe the Batmobile or the open world aspect of City and Night, we brought pretty much everything into this game. And we only were able to do it because of the team. And I don't mean that just as I need help and it's a talented team, but because they went through Iron Man, because they started to be able to speak the language of VR, they know what works and what doesn't, generally speaking. And then they're able to apply that deep knowledge that they have to any challenge that they have. And then the output is what you were able to play with the game that we launched back in October.
I just want to follow up on that because I'm so fascinated by that process. And then I'll let you ask some questions too and not dominate this interview. But the notion that combat system was sort of fully baked even in a prototype. I just assumed, because I know the game had been in development for 4 years. And I just assumed there was a lot of iteration on that. And it's amazing to me that kind of, you know, was whole cloth right out of the gate. That mixture of sort of prescribed gestures and, you know, sort of Simon Says, follow the prompts, being able to mix that with a sense of improvisation and creativity in the fight, that to me is the most magical part of the mechanics of Arkham Shadow, because when I heard about the game, I hadn't played it yet. I thought, oh no, this is going to feel very paint by numbers and do exactly what I have to do. I'm surprised that you got to that point so quickly. And was there any worry that it would feel too paint by numbers, even as you were developing it?
Yeah, that the paint by numbers aspect of it, the concerns that we heard from people that shared the same concerns that you had, Jeff, when you first saw the gameplay trailer, for example, there was a lot of questions about, is it going to feel like it's on rails, or am I just being told what to do? And it just came to a point where I had to say, look, I understand what you're seeing from these gameplay videos, but listen to the people that have had a chance to play the game at Gamescom, and then play it for yourself, and just trust me that, just like the other Arkham games, there is a high degree of creativity and interesting choices that the players have to make on a second by second basis. And that element of it was, I think, some of the easier stuff we had to develop. The more difficult was getting everything into working in VR, where it felt like you're punching these guys, but it wasn't a physics based system like you do with like a game like Blade and Sorcery or Arizona Sunshine. It would have to feel more intentional, just like the other Arkham games were, where they created a great system that makes you feel like Batman. It makes it feel brutal, but it's still controlled to an extent. So it's that striking that balance was challenging, but the biggest challenge out of the gate was, how do we just translate this into first person in the VR and make it feel like it's Arkham? And the guys did it really quickly. And just like they did the flying in Iron Man really quickly, it was everything else. That was all the other challenge that we faced that kept us up at night.
That's amazing. Christian, you have some questions?
Yeah, I'd love to transition a little bit to the Arkham-ness of it, if we could, in the sense that here you all are jumping into, you know, a VR game of arguably one of the greatest action franchises of all time, beloved certainly by millions of people, that has already had, you know, a pretty successful VR game in that space. And then speaking to, I guess, specifically the time frame that you all set your game in, taking place between Origins and Asylum, I'm curious kind of what those discussions were like. Was that anything you can talk about? Was that WB kind of suggested, like, hey, here's a window? Was that you all being like, ooh, we can do so many of these fun character moments with, I won't spoil anything, but with the Rogues Gallery that we'll get to encounter in a new way in the game, or kind of how, what those challenges were? Or was that just kind of a new toolbox where you got to play with these characters at a different point in their career, perhaps?
Yeah, so the process really was us trying to convince Warner Brothers and DC to allow us to make this game and to partner with them, right? That was the whole process for many months. It was, thankfully, they were willing to have a conversation with Camouflage and with Meta, and they just basically asked, like, what do you want to do? Like, what are you interested in? And so it was less about them pushing me into a certain direction. I think they were really curious to see what our angle was going to be, what we're passionate about, what do we really want to create, which I highly respect. And I think that's how you make a better game, right? Rather than somebody telling you what you should do. It's what are you interested in? And so I just sat down with the team. I said, look, I look at the timeline. I see that there's between Asylum, City, and Arkham Knight, I see very little room to maneuver, but I see a pretty big gap in the Arkhamverse between Origins and Asylum. And that would be a fun place to play. So that was the first thinking. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, we're big storytellers at Camouflage. We want to have intentionally a smaller cast where we go deeper with our characters, and we want to have our characters evolve and change over the course of the story. And for a game where you're going to be in VR, where you're going to be in the mind and in the body of Batman, we want to tell a story where Batman was going to change, where he's going to evolve. He's going to have to go through a journey. And when I went back and started playing all the games and I played Origins, I saw a character that has a lot of room for growth. In Origins, he's young, he's early in his career as Batman, he's angry, he's not thinking his way through his problems, and I just saw a character that's ripe for a story that we like to tell. We like to tell meaningful stories, right? And you guys have finished the game, and you understand some of the drama and some of the pretty intense things that happen at the end. And And I was so excited about taking that character I was playing in Origins, performed by Roger Craig Smith, and getting him to that point that you all played at the end of Shadow. And I felt if we could tell that story, if we could, I didn't have all the beats figured out, but if I could have that arc where he has changed and grown as a hero that eventually evolves into what you play in Asylum City and Night, I think we can do something really special here. And Warner was thankfully very, very interested in that.
Yeah, I still want to stay vague for people who haven't played the game.
We should do a few minutes at the end of spoiler talk, though.
I'll set this up vague and non-spoilery. And there's kind of two parts to it here a little bit. But one, I loved the way you all represented flashback sequences or kind of those interstitials between moments were really, really cool with those characters. And I guess
top-down perspective of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very cool. And so I'd love a little insight on that and what those decisions were like to change the perspective in VR when so much of the game is this, you are Batman. And then to those characters, was it hard to get the team back together? Because this is a murderer's row of talent bringing these characters to life again that I think really, for me at least, brought me right back into this world, right? Like never did it seem like we're using old Origins outtakes, you know, like, oh, we don't have the budget to do the real thing. It's like amazing performances, amazing voices, amazing characters, you know, really brought this story to life. Mm. And I'm curious if there were struggles with that or if everybody kind of was like, no, giddy up, let's go.
Yeah, I'll answer your second question first, Christian, if you don't mind. But on the character side of things, it was the talent behind the characters were such a big part of how we were able to tell the story and do it as well as I think we were able to. And I mean specifically Roger Craig Smith, who I called pretty early on the project and said, are you interested in doing another Arkham game? And he wanted to hear more about it. And he was just such a great partner and taught me a lot about what he experienced working on Arkham Origins and Arkham Origins Blackgate. And then also obviously with Troy Baker, who plays Harvey Dent in our game and another character that we won't talk about. But he also obviously went and you know, he played Arkham Knight in that game, Arkham Knight. He played that character, right? Mm-hmm. He's mm-hmm. been with the franchise for a long time. So in Tara Strong and then in Mark Walston, I have so many people, so many new friends because of this project, which they didn't just show up, perform the character and then check out for the day. It was this dialogue. It was this like, spending time together, talking about these characters, talking about their experience with the previous games. That's like just one example of so many things that we did on this game to become fast experts on making an authentic Arkham game. And it was only because we were able to work with Warner Brothers and DC or talk to the actors that worked on the previous games and work with them and actually bring on full time some ex Rocksteady team members who really taught us how Rocksteady built their games and how they built like their world. So that feels like an authentic Arkham game. So that was very intentional. And I think that worked out really in our benefit by just trying to seep everything with other people that have more experience than we did. And then on the top down flashback scenes, I have to admit, I got some chills when you complimented them, Christian, because that was me really going out on a limb on a creative weird endeavor that was not backed by science or any experience. It was me thinking, how do I lean into VR in a way that nobody else has done? How do I make it feel like it's different? So the player knows that it's different because, you know, you're playing first person Batman, in all the language and verbs that you're used to in VR. But I need this to feel different, and it's a dream. So I don't know how and why I came up with the idea, but maybe inspired a little bit by that game. What was it? 12 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the top down perspective.
Right.
And I thought that could be really interesting. And that was it. It was one of those, I don't really like to operate this way, guys, where it's like, I think this could be interesting. So I'm going to go do it. I usually want to be backed up with some theories or experiments or some science or whatever, but this was just a gut thing. And while I was working on it with the company that we partner with called Territory, that we worked with on Iron Man, they've worked on Spider-Man game with Insomniac. When they were building it with us, there was a moment where it was not working. Hmm. And people were feeling vertigo.
Hmm.
And I was getting messages from the team, Ryan, I can't experience these. I can't look at these flashback scenes.
Huh.
And I'm thinking, uh-oh, my whole story depends on these flashbacks.
Yeah.
And without getting too much into the details, it was, it ended up being just how we were dealing with perspective and how, and if we just changed lighting and color and position of props in the scene, it would eliminate some of that sense of vertigo and then we're good. But that was one of the scariest moments on the project.
That's incredible. It works so well in the game now. You know, I it's one of my favorite things is each time one of those comes up, I get so excited in the game because not only are you getting this cool new aspect of the story, but it feels like you're I was going to say bird on a wire, but I guess it would be more of a bat on a wire, peering into it. And it plays so well with the depth and 3D-ness you get in VR. It's super cool. It's crazy to me that it wasn't working for a while.
It wasn't working for a long time. And then the twist is you get to see those in first person in VR, some of those scenes later with a little bit of a twist, which I was so happy with. We kind of converged things. So it didn't feel like it was just separate, you know?
Yeah. And the whole sort of design aesthetic of not really having cut scenes that you aren't a part of, except for those bird's eye view scenes, I thought was particularly effective because, you know, I want to be in the game as much as possible. And there's a number of just story moments where I'm, you know, interacting with characters, listening to characters talk to me. That would be a cutscene perhaps in another game, but here I'm allowed to live in it and be inside it. And then you also have those sort of cutscenes from the top down. I thought that the dichotomy of those two things was particularly effective.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. You know. I'm just giving you compliments now.
Yeah, I'll take them, you know.
When you and the Beatles wrote that one song, it was so awesome. How awesome was it? That's what I feel.
Yeah,
like,
it's a bit of that little Chris Farley bit. Let's talk some spoilers now. So if folks are listening and you haven't finished the game and you don't want any spoilers, this would be the time to fast forward or pause your recording and play the game, finish the game.
Also look forward to the updates too. Like, this is not spoiler territory, but we've got major updates for people who are still on the fence. Like, the game's getting better and better every single month. So, just keep an eye on what we're doing. And, our commitment is to make the game. If you've listened to previous episodes with Jeff and Christian, you've heard that there was more bugs in the game that we would have liked to have at ship. And we've smashed through literally hundreds of those, over the last, 6 weeks or so.
Yeah. You have the entire team still working on the game after launch, which I assume is pretty rare to be able to do that.
So,
yeah, it's very cool.
Squash the bugs. Do they have to navigate 3D puzzles and then find them and throw them on the ground?
I wish it was that easy. I mean, it's you know, with VR, you don't know how people are going to play the game.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like an excuse because we had a great QA group that we work with as well, but it's just every day, not every day now, thankfully not every day, but around launch every day it was a surprise. Like, wait, you did this and how did you do that? And you played it that way and did that order. So yeah, we've been, like Jeff said, the whole team is dedicated to Arkham Shadow for the next few months, just these massive updates, making the game better and better and better. And we feel really lucky that we have the whole team on the project and we're allowed to do that. So yeah, a lot of good stuff to look forward to, not just quality of life fixes and bug fixes, but new challenge maps. We're adding the character viewer next week. We're adding, we're adding a new cutscene to the game post credits. Yeah, just all sorts of like really, really cool stuff.
That's phenomenal. All right. So spoilers now for the story of Arkham Shadow. I think it's pretty remarkable, how many big things you get to do in this game. As far as all the Harvey Dent stuff was phenomenal and really satisfying, especially, getting to see in VR up close that grizzled half of his face just is so fun to watch. But I think even more so the Joe Cool reveal. Christian, you're more of a Batman fan than I am. I don't know if you saw that coming, but I did not.
I think the stuff was telegraphed very smartly. Like, there were definitely hints and clues along the way for how that was going to happen, but I think it was done so well. It reminds me a lot of a current Batman story with what they're doing with Absolute Batman, which is a totally different universe and take on them. And they still will seed things to, I feel like you all seeded things to reward long time big Arkham fans or Batman fans. But yeah, it wasn't like, go talk to Joe who works in the freezer where it's chilly, it respected our intelligence as fans. So I thought that was really played very well. And then Jeff, you mentioned a little bit the Harvey Two-Face thing, but having us do it, having me be responsible for turning Harvey into Two-Face was one of my favorite gaming moments of the year, if not the past few years, where, I mean, I just did it, right? Like my, I was like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? And I've never seen it done that way before, you know, in the Batman world. Truly incredible. And I think made more special by being in that space in VR and just letting it happen. It was magical.
And that's after the swerve of him getting gasoline on him at one point and being like, oh, here it comes.
We had fun with that. Yes, a couple of things with that. Sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
No, go ahead, please.
So yeah, a couple of things about, so there's the Two-Face side and there's the Joe Chill side that really, there's 1-2 punch at the end of the game, which we're really proud of. But it's a little bit of the background on the Harvey side of things. Yes, we knew that some people were going to be predicting what was going to happen, right? You have Harvey done the game and it's pretty Two-Face, but is it going to be this game or is it going to be this moment? So we had fun with that. And then it led up. But one thing we knew we wanted to do from very early on is we wanted the player to be responsible for the acid attack onto Harvey Dent. The question was always how, and that weighed on us for years. It was one of the most difficult things we worked on in this project, and we worked on a lot of difficult things, but especially from a storytelling perspective, because we had to throughout the entire project, we had to honor what was said and spoken and seen in the previous Arkham games. And there's actually a fair bit of dialogue from Harvey Dent and Arkham Knight and in character bios and city that describe what happened to him. So we had to make sure that we respected all of that, but also did something impactful and made sense for our story. So that was really, really difficult. We had all these different ideas where you were going to be hallucinating at one point, and then you had a glass of water in front of you, and then Harvey was going to be on fire. So you wanted to douse the fire with the water. But what are you going to do when the player is not, when he's not on fire? What happens if the water's there? You know, at least all these questions. And the team came up with the idea about having the counter, this thing you've done hundreds of times up until that point. You have the counter icon come up because Crane is about to put his toxin into you. That causes the vial to fling and then to hit Harvey is actually... I was on the fence about it. And then coincidentally, I was reading the first appearance of Harvey Dent Two-Face in all the comics from many decades ago. And it's a deflection from Batman that has the vial land onto Harvey Dent. I thought, wait a second. If we're going to tell the origins of Harvey Dent, we could respect the very, very first depiction of it from decades prior. So that was really cool and really great that we got to do it that way in the game. And then with Joe Chill, it's funny because we took the opposite approach of what we took with Harvey, which was we had to seed the Harvey story, right? We couldn't have it feel like him becoming or be revealed as Rat King to feel too much like it was a swerve or wasn't earned. But we have to just kind of boil the frog. You got to boil the player so they don't know it's coming. But they might, some knew and some didn't, and that's okay. We knew that was going to happen. With Joe Chill, we took the approach that Christian, I think you picked up on, was that it was a lot of respect to the player base. That if you recognize there's this character named Joe, who's got this complex past, and by the way, he also is basically the same character model just from Arkham VR, because you have that opening scene in Arkham VR where it has the crime alley scene. That's Joe Chill. That's his model. We just aged him up.
That's wild.
And so we thought, you know what, let's not be cute about it. Cause there was a moment where, it was a long time. It was 9 months. He was going to be called Frost. That was the nickname that he got in the prison from people that thought it would be kind of fun to play off of his name. Right. But we thought, no, let's just, if people know that's Joe Chill, they're in on it. They're like, wait a second. I'm in group therapy, which by the way, I think it's wild that we have a group therapy scene in this game, but we have Bruce Wayne at group therapy who feels for the first time in his life, probably, that he can be open with other people about what happened. And if you remember that scene, he just basically says, yeah, my parents were killed in front of me. And I was, at a young age, and you see, and for players that know who like, is, I think that's Joe Chill. You see Joe Chill's reaction. You're like, wait, how is this all going to play out? And that was really fun to respect the player, to respect those who were in on it and those who didn't pick up on it, which by the way, a lot of hardcore Arkham people didn't pick up on it was him. They were shocked at the end of the game. And it's so fun to see everybody. Yeah. Just kind of unraveling in their mind as they're playing those final moments.
And I think too, to make him, that character had a journey, right? I talked about this on our main show. So much of what I love about the Arkham games, they are silly in nature. Like yeah. Blackgate would be shut down, you know, like yes. what a terrible prison this place is. Yes. But within that framework, and Elijah Wood as Jonathan Crane is just incredible, I think, playing that serious but kind of silly nature of this character's descent. But in VR, I feel like interacting with Joe at the commissary and having this relationship with him allowed him to be more than just a caricature. Yes. That allowed me as the player to kind of connect with him and share in that empathy. And it feels maybe reductive to say the magic of VR over and over and over again. But I'm curious if you all, you know, relied on that a little more than you would in a flat screen game, thinking like, oh, the player is going to be sitting here face to face with this character as they talk about their troubled past. Can we get more emotional meat out of that? Or was kind of the premise always to have those characters interact to tell that story?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And it's the player focus. It's what the player is doing. It's who the player is interacting with. Those are the characters that you need to have, in my opinion. That's where you go deep on. It's less so, and it's not to say you couldn't do it the other way. I mean, I worked on Metal Gear Solid, where a lot of the characters' interactions you have are just by watching them in long cinematics. And that still works. You can still have an emotional moment in a movie-like setting. But yeah, leveraging the platform, leveraging the fact that we have players as Batman, as Bruce Wayne, as Masters Malone in VR, where they're embodying this character. We have to, in my opinion, if you're going to tell a really impactful story, you got to lean in on the characters that you're having interactions with and who are on screen. And so that was a big reason why we had Joe working at the commissary, because we gave the players plenty of excuses to go there, interact with him, and to literally be handed objects by him or hand him objects. So simple, but you're just creating this rapport with this other human being, which is a whole high level theme of the whole game, which was how do we have Bruce Wayne learn empathy? He had to do it by walking in the shoes of people that he detests, criminals. And now you're exchanging goods with this criminal who killed your parents.
It makes you recontextualize. As somebody who did not put it together until the end, it made me recontextualize all those interactions that I had in such a cool way. It's like it's like a Shyamalan twist at the end.
Very much so. And people ask, by the way, they one of the with the game, when you're developing the game, and scope is always a concern. The game is always overscoped, and for any project I've ever been associated with or known about, and we had to cut lots of things, as any other project. But one feature that was on the chopping block for a long time that didn't get cut, and I tried to defend, was the cell decoration feature. Where you can buy things from Joe. Even if the engagement of that is not high and it wasn't the deepest system ever, it was an excuse to have more FaceTime with Joe Chill. And that's really back into that kind of design philosophy I was kind of talking about.
That's so fascinating. I feel like we could talk to you for hours. I have so many other things I'm curious about. I know your time is at a premium, and we certainly appreciate you being here with us to talk about this game that Christian and I both adore. I think it's one of the best games of the year. As I said, one of the best VR games of all time, and real triumph for you in the studio. I can't wait. Can't wait to see what Camouflage does next. I think.
Thank you. And I can't wait to talk about it with you guys. This has been so much fun. Again, I listened to pretty much everything that is said about this video game that we worked on, pre-launch and post-launch. And the long segment you guys did on the game, it hit, I don't know what it is. It's just you guys got excited about the stuff that I was like most proud of or afraid of, and that ended up being good. And you guys were really honest too about, some of the rough edges we had at launch. And so I just, it was real special for me to hear that whole segment you guys put together, and the fact that we can talk, real time and just connect over the game really means a lot to me. So thank you for inviting me onto your show.
Oh, it means a lot to us too. Congratulations. And I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you.
Yeah.